Welcome to Ladies Who Love Christ, where we love to encourage you to build intimacy with Christ. We'll bring you insights and teachings to help you grow in your walk with Jesus, ultimately becoming the strong, godly woman you were created to be. Here's Ashley Pope Todorova.
Hello and welcome to session 3 of our Psalms Bible study at Ladies Who Love Christ Ministries. If you're listening on the podcast or you found us on YouTube, we are so grateful to have you. This week, we are digging into Psalm 62, Psalms of Trust. We're working from John MacArthur's Bible study book on Psalms. So with that being said, we're going to dive right in. Gals, if you have the book, if you don't stress it. If you have the book, I want you to turn to page 49. Psalms of Trust in God. Turn to page 49 in the book. Okay. And the first question, again, I'm doing some things a little bit differently here. The first question right out of the gate under the drawing near section is, why is trust important? So in general, like when you think about what it means for you to trust somebody in your life, why is trust important? Why is trust an important thing? And then the second question under drawing near is, what makes God trustworthy? This is actually a very, very, however simplistic it may sound, it is a very important question. It's a question that I would venture to say sometimes we don't stop to actually think about or ponder. What makes God trustworthy? So if you are diving in and you just want to come in and dialogue with ladies, you're welcome to jot out some thoughts, no pressure there. But we, as we start out the study this evening, we are going to unpack those questions, okay? So the first thing that I want you to do is just kind of keep that at the forefront of your mind. What makes God so trustworthy and why is trust so important, okay? First, gals, what I want you to do is I want you to write this down. However simplistic a word may sound, I always call myself, I even have a shirt that says it, word nerd. I love words. I love looking things up in the dictionary. I love looking words up in the Hebrew and the Greek. I absolutely enjoy that so much, right? So we're going to unpack the word trust. We are going to define the word trust. What is trust? Gals, write this down. Trust is the firm belief. Trust is the firm belief and the reliability, ability, or strength of something or someone. Trust is our full firm belief in the reliability, the ability, and the strength of something or someone. In this case, this evening, as we dive into Psalms, we are going to look at what it means to trust God, what it means to know, to fully know that He is reliable in our lives when people are not reliable, when others let us down, when we go through struggles, when we go through turmoil, when we go through difficult things, difficult seasons, where maybe our trust, listen here, listen close, where our trust has been broken by a person, by a flesh and blood person, we know that we can trust at all times, no matter what, the reliability of our God. We can trust the reliability of our God. We can trust the ability. He is an able God. We can trust the ability of our God. We can trust His strength. We can trust that He is truly, completely, and wholly, wholly, not holy as in holy, but completely in authority. He is a trustworthy God. So trust is the firm belief in the reliability, the ability, and the strength. Write that down. Reliability, ability, and strength of something or someone. There are countless reasons, ladies. Countless given throughout the pages of scripture as to why we should trust God. Yet no scripture that, now listen to this, no scripture that instructs us to understand God. So this is where we're going tonight, because so often, no matter where you're at in your walk with Christ, maybe you're new in your walk, maybe you're walking with him many, many years, and maybe you're somewhere just kind of right in between, right? Maybe you have a strong, deep relationship where you're prioritizing your relationship, or maybe you're just starting out your relationship and you're not really, and you know this, you're not spending the time that you should be with the Lord. We oftentimes try to reconcile trust. Try to follow me here, because this is not in the book. I'm just teaching right now. We try to reconcile trust, trusting God. We try to reconcile that in our human minds with understanding God. What you have to understand is that Scripture calls us, there are countless reasons in Scripture to trust God, yet no Scripture that instructs us that we must understand God. We are not going to understand every single thing in Scripture. We are not going to in our finite human minds, understand completely and in its entirety the ways of God. But that does not mean, listen, guys, this is foundational tonight. That does not mean that we cannot trust God. He is a trustworthy, reliable, able, strong Father. So getting to the point where we can trust God, even when we do not necessarily understand, getting to that point in our walk, ladies, in our faith walk with Christ is a key issue. It's a key issue. It's an important issue. It is something that you ought to think about. So I want to give you a little example here. This is just a little example of the trust and understanding kind of analogy that I'm trying to make clear to you gals tonight. Some of you love, I know, to travel, avid travelers, okay? I know all of us, whether you drive or not, most of us drive a vehicle, right? So some people love to travel. All of us drive. We get into a vehicle. We don't completely understand how that vehicle works or all the mechanisms behind it, but surely we trust it to get into it every day to drive somewhere. We trust, even though we don't understand all of the things in the plane, all of the controls and the buttons and how the engine works and the propellers. We don't understand all that. But certainly when I fly across the world to visit my mother-in-law, I'm hopping on a plane and I'm trusting that that plane is going to work as it intends, right? I know it's a very simplistic example, but sometimes as human beings, we've got to simplify things in our life. And especially when it comes to the things of God, just because we don't understand everything does not mean that we cannot trust him. I want you to write that down tonight. I want you to write that down. So here's the thing. This is a choice that we have, gals. This is a choice that we have. Now, you're going to see me, if you're on Zoom, if you're on Facebook, you're going to see me looking at my notes tonight, because I could never, apart from God, I could never get through an entire study in a timely fashion, right? And Heather helping me. I could never do this without making sure I stay on track. But we have choices. We have choices in our walk with Jesus. We have choices day to day. As we talk tonight about trusting Jesus, trusting God, fully and completely, we have a choice to make. And here's that choice. I want you to write it down. I want you to immerse in this question this week and think about it. I want you to literally ponder this question. Can I trust God when I do not understand what he is doing? Can I trust God when I do not understand what he is doing or why? Spoiler alert, let me give you the answer to that. The answer is all over the pages of Scripture. The answer is all over the pages of Scripture. And that answer is yes. Scripture is very clear that we are to diligently write this down. This is what we're doing here tonight. This is why I felt like this is so important for us to come together as women to study God's word. We are to diligently study God's word and seek to understand what it says through the lens of knowing. Listen to this. Through the lens of knowing, there are some things we will never understand. So when we look at God's holiness, when we look at God's righteousness, when we look at God's sovereignty, when we look at God's trustworthiness, we know, and scripture calls us, we can trust in God, even when we don't understand everything, not just in the word, but understand why things are happening in a particular way that they're happening in our lives. So just because you don't fully understand does not mean that we cannot trust. Place our full and complete trust in, what did we talk about at the beginning? The reliability of God, the ability of God, his strength, his sovereignty. So we have to seek through God's word to understand. Please do not misunderstand what I'm telling you. We have to seek to study his word to understand his word. But in the midst, we must be okay knowing that there are things about God's word. There may be theological debates that you hear. There may be things that you just can't reconcile. There may be things happening in your life that you don't understand, but you know what? You can trust God. I want you to write it down in your notes. I want you to underline it. I want you to circle it, and I want you to highlight it. I want you to do all three. I can trust God. I can trust God. So I want you to repeat after me. If you're at home, I don't want you to turn your devices on, and it's okay if you're alone. I want you to repeat. I want you to say this after me. God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy. God is reliable. He is able and he is strong. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn in the word. We're going to unpack, what does scripture tell us about the trustworthiness of God? What does scripture tell us about trusting God? What does the pages of scripture, because it doesn't matter what I say, it matters what God's word says. We're going to turn to Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 35. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 35. And every time I hit the record button and the start button on Facebook and Zoom, I tell myself I'm going to slow it down, because when I get going, I can go really fast. I'm going to slow it down. And I want to read this passage to you, these passages, these verses. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? What that's saying is that he is God, we are not. He is God, we are not. We will not understand everything. Because if we did understand everything, that would mean that we're God and we're not God. Only God is God. Only God is trustworthy. Truly, deeply, completely trustworthy. His word never fails. He never fails. So, ladies, I want you to write this. We are to study. We are to immerse in. And we are to seek to understand God's word. This is not saying don't study God's word, don't try to understand. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying God is mighty, we are not. He is holy, we are not. He sees all things. He's omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. We are not. When you look at the attributes and qualities of God, you see everything that we are not as human beings. So we are to study, to immerse, and to seek to understand his word. We are, yes, to use our brains as we do, like we are tonight, coming together to pray together, to study God's word together. We are to do these things. But when you reach, listen to me, and if you're asleep, pay attention. When you reach pivotal moments in your life, and I've had many of these moments in my life, when you reach pivotal moments where you do not understand, and you will reach those moments, be it in the pages of scripture, something you don't understand or you're having a hard time reconciling, or be it in your own life with the day-to-day things that are happening, with things that are happening within your marriage or your family, you're going to reach a pivotal moment where you don't understand why something is happening. But be ready to trust him then too. be ready to trust him then too. Even when you don't completely understand. But why is this so important? Why it sounds so basic, it sounds so simple. Why is this so important? Because gals, listen, so many times in our walk with the Lord, we take our human relationships, we take our relationships with our father, we take our relationships with our mother, we take our relationships with our spouse and people we love that are close to us, and we think, well, if they let us down, if they fall or fail, then God must be like that. So many times we parallel earthly relationships, listen to this, earthly relationships with our heavenly Father. When you reach those pivotal moments in your life where you do not understand, it is vital that you understand the attributes, the qualities of God spoken to and given to us through his word, through scripture, through the pages of scripture, Old Testament to New, Genesis to Revelation, everything tied together, that we understand because he's given us his word, that we understand that even when we don't understand, we can trust him. He is a trustworthy, he is a worthy of our trust God. So again, don't just take it from me. Let's talk about this through the pages of scripture. Here's a few truths from scripture that God tells us in his word that shows us we can trust him. Okay, first one, these are bulleted points. Again, we're working through that deep, rich question on page 49 about trust. And none of this is in the book. And then we're going to go and unpack Psalm 62 together. So there's four points here. The first one, here's how we know we can trust God, because in his word, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God tells us, I will never leave you, even when you don't understand, even when you can't make sense of it, even when you cannot see the full picture. Oh my goodness, gals, so many times in my life, I couldn't see the full picture. But you know what? I look back now and I see a God that never for one second, not a millisecond, did he leave me. Never for a second I see his hand all over my life. I see his providence and his guidance and his sovereignty all over my life. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's Hebrews 13:5. The second passage is, he's not going to allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's turn to that passage. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Give me a minute because I didn't mark it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, and here we are. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Now listen to this. I love this version. Listen to this. It says, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he'll also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. What this passage is saying here is that you don't go it alone. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's not going to leave you. In the moments of trial, in the moments of temptation, in the moments of uncertainty, he is a God that is dependable. Boy, I'll tell you what, if there's anything in my life, if there's any words that I could speak to you girls to get you to fully, completely, deeply understand it, it is that no matter what is going on in our lives, we can trust in our God because he is worthy of our trust. He is reliable. He is able. And he is completely and utterly sovereign. That means an authority over all. The wind and the waves obey him. Okay? That's the second point. The third thing, he works all things. Come on, we know this now. Romans 8:28. I know my girls know this. He works all things for the good of those who love God. To the good of those who love God. That doesn't say he works some things. He works all things. But what's the second part of that passage? Together for good to those who love God. So the challenge here, before we move on to the fourth point, the challenge here is we think about trusting God. You cannot compare trusting humans to trusting God. You can never. Humans will always fail. People will fail. People will fail us. People will fail themselves. We are sin-filled people. Maybe you've had a really horrible relationship growing up with your parents. I had a very hard upbringing. But I'm going to tell you something right now. For everything I didn't have from human beings, okay, I got from God. Because he is trustworthy and he never left me for a second. He is dependable and he is there. And even when you don't understand, most of all, when you don't understand, that is where you trust. Trust even deeper, even more. Number four, God's word. Never. I'm going to say it again in case you're asleep on the other side of the screen. God's word never fails. So he is trustworthy. His word is trustworthy. God gave us his word. He never left us to go it alone. John chapter 17, verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. It says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Hebrews talks about that. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. His word is truth. But you see, gals, listen, how can we trust? How can we know and trust if we are not studying the word that God gave us? His completely inspired, inerrant, sufficient. We're going to talk about the sufficiency of scripture tonight. How are we going to know that if we're not studying God's word? How are we going to get to know him? It's like, I liken it to a relationship with a spouse. Okay. That's what I liken it to. It's like you go and you want to grow with this person, but you sit at the table and you never talk to them. Well, good luck with that. Anyone here who's married knows that you got to know your spouse. You know what they like, and you certainly know what they don't like. You know what makes them laugh, and you know what they don't think is funny. You know their little intricacies, right? Because you spend time with them. You spend time getting to know them. You observe them. You stay close to them, and you get to know them. How much more important is our relationship with God, our holy, righteous Father? So God's word, okay, just a recap. He will never leave us or forsake us. That's the first one. He'll never allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able to bear. He works all things together for the good of those who love God, those who seek God, those who spend time with God, those who study God's word, those who make a priority to build their relationship with God, right? Because you don't just blindly do this and then nothing else. It's not like you accept Christ and then you just sit down and you're like, I'm done. I never have to open the word. Don't have to plug in with believers. Don't need anyone. Don't need anything. No, God's word tells us quite the opposite. God's word tells us quite the opposite. And then that fourth point, God's word never fails. God's word never fails. God never fails. It's getting this mindset right about the sheer holiness of God, his ability, his reliability. Just because people are unreliable, it does not mean God is unreliable. He is reliable. Just because people fail us, God will never fail us. And you know what else? God will never fail to do exactly what he has promised. God will never fail to do exactly what he has promised. I want you girls to write this down, the word trust. So we talked about trust defined, reliability, the ability or the strength of something or someone. In this case tonight, it's our trust in our holy, righteous, amazing God. The word trust in Greek, okay? The word trust in Greek is elpizo, elpizo. E-L-P-I-Z-O, meaning to hope, to hope in, or to trust in. To trust, first point, these are points, to trust in Christ. To trust in Christ. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians 1:10. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. I'm going to read it to you. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him, we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Biblical hope is the consequence and expression of our faith, gals. Biblical hope, as the consequence and expression of our faith, is not wishful thinking, but it's an absolute confidence in God's promises for the future based on his faithfulness in the past. It's an absolute, completely, let me just turn that text off. It's an absolute, completely deep, rich confidence in God's promises for the future based on his faithfulness in the past. Do you struggle with trusting God? Are you struggling right now with trusting God? I challenge you. If you've been walking with him any number of years, I challenge you to look at what God has done in the past. Has he ever left you? Has he ever forsaken you? Has he ever walked away from you? We can not only trust in God for our future, right? But we can absolutely look back and see his faithfulness, his steadfastness in our past. He is a dependable, reliable, able God. The second point is we are able to trust in the living God. I'm just unpacking that a little bit deeper. So placing our trust in Christ, this Greek word elpizo, E-L-P-I-Z-O, our hope and our trust in Christ, and then also our trust in the living God. Our absolute, complete trust in the living God. Give me a moment. Let me find this passage that I am looking for. I don't know if I marked it. It looks like I missed a lot of scriptures tonight, but I did mark this one. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. And it says, "For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope," elpizo, "we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." Now, that could be confusing to some people when you read that passage. It could be a little bit confusing. The way it's written is not teaching universalism. The way that passage is written is not teaching universalism, that every person will eventually go to heaven. No, scripture is very clear that that is not the case. Scripture denies that. It likely means that Christ died for all people, but only those who believe in him are saved. So Christ died for all people, but only those who believe in him are saved, or he's offered to all people, though not all will receive him. It's a very scary, scary thought. So before we turn to Psalm 62, sorry about that. I was getting a couple interruptions on my phone. Before we turn to Psalm 62, to unpack this a little bit further, girls, I'm just going to recap, because I'm a big believer in repetition when I teach you. Okay? Just because we can't understand all things happening in our lives, or just because we can't understand all things in God's word, certainly does not mean that we cannot trust God. Because we know God through the pages of scripture, through his word, which he has given us. We spend time with God as ladies who love Christ. That's what we're doing tonight. We spend time with him. To know God's will is to know God's word. To know what pleases God or displeases God is to know his word. To know that he is trustworthy, worthy of our trust completely, and trustworthy, even when people are not. Even when people are not. To trust is to believe in the reliability, the ability, and the strength of our God. So it's extremely important that you understand that. And when you reach those pivotal moments in your life where you don't understand, You can trust God. You can trust God. So turning to Psalm 62 in your Bible, we're going to unpack this tonight together. In this psalm, David was writing this while facing treason, likely from Absalom. Okay, so he was facing treason from someone. He was in a difficult time. He was crying out to God. This psalm sings praises to foster confidence in God's care. In this particular psalm, write this down. God's people sing this praise to foster confidence in his care. Despite what's happening in their worlds, despite not being able to see the full picture, they have confidence in God's care, complete confidence in God's care, especially as they're faced with people who use power and wealth to oppress them. Okay? Here at Ladies Who Love Christ, we study everything in time, culture, context, and then we bring it here to 2024, okay? The strong temptation here is to despair or to seek security and power and wealth rather than God. Throughout the verses of Psalm 62, okay, the strong temptation is to despair, right? To despair or to seek security and power and wealth. Bringing it here to 2024, I would venture to say that that is still a huge issue that buys for the hearts and the attention of people. Are you going to seek things of the world? Are you going to seek your security in the world? Are you going to seek your security and wealth? Are you going to seek your security in anything other than God? So the people in Psalm 62, David himself and the people saying this out, but it's very applicable here to us too today. I'm going to give you some points from Psalm 62, and I want you to write them down, just bullets, and we'll breeze through this fairly quickly. I'm doing great on time. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. Let me read this to you. It says, "For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." So this is describing my soul is waiting and relying on God in silence, who is our rock and our fortress. Ladies, write this down. God is our only reliable hope. God is our only reliable. Remember that word trust, reliability of? God is our only reliable hope. There's nothing in the world that will provide for you any security at all. Nothing. Only God is our reliable hope. Your 401k is not your security. Your bank account or your savings is not your security. Your investments or Roths are not your security. Your job, your career, your accolades, your credentials, fill in the blank, fill in the blank, fill in the blank. None of that is your security. God is our only reliable hope. So in this passage, David is saying, my soul waits for God because he is literally, quite literally, the only reliable thing in our lives. The description of a trusting soul is to set an ideal for God's people. Each one should aspire to this quiet faith. When it speaks of quiet faith, this deep trust in God. Are we ladies? This is a challenge to you. It's not to make you feel convicted. It is a challenge. Are we ladies that seek to trust in God by seeking to understand God's word and to know the things of God? This quiet, sure, unshakable trust and faith in our sovereign, holy, holy God. Then the second point in Psalm 62, verses 3 and 4, how long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. That's powerful stuff. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. This is speaking to those who attack using lies and injustice. This is speaking to people who attack using lies and injustice. It's sung, this song, it is sung to remind the godly that such attacks have one plan and only one pleasure, and that is falsehood. There's only one safe recourse, and it's woven throughout Psalm 62. There's only one safe recourse amidst these attacks, both in that time, culture, context, and right here, right now. And that is to place our trust in, to place our hope in. The Greek word elpizo, to place our trust and our hope in God, because everything else will fail. No matter how much the world tells you, you can depend on and rely on and have security in this. The world bombards you with it. I know so many people who call on the name of Jesus, but they don't spend time with him and his word. They say they believe, but they're out there trying to put all of their security and or build all of the security and things of the world. This is a challenge to you girls that we must understand. It doesn't mean that we don't plan. It doesn't mean that we don't prepare. It doesn't mean that we don't invest or save. Don't hang on my every word. What it means is we don't place our trust in those things. We don't place our trust in those things. The third point is, as David says, oh, my soul waits for God alone. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 7. For God alone, oh, my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is in him. He is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Talk about repetition, repetition, repetition. David was saying, I know who my God is. Are you listening? Are you following? I know who my God is. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand the attacks. I don't see the full picture, but you know what? I don't need to, because I know who my God is, and I trust in him. I believe him to be reliable. I believe him to be able. And when I trust him for my future, I can also look back and recall his faithfulness in the past, because he is a faithful and a good God. So wait, write that word down. Write it down. Hold on, let me just, boy, I'll tell you what, nobody texts me as much as between 7 and 8 on a Tuesday night. Write this down. Wait for God. Trust, elpizo, trust in God. There's repetition all over Psalm 62. And then again in verse 7, when he says, on God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. My protection is God, refuge. My shelter is God. Verse 7, it's speaking of his reliability. That is speaking of God's reliability. When things fail us, when people fail, when people fail us, when we fail people, let's not fail to turn that around. God does not fail. We cannot reconcile with our human minds the relationships that we have with people that have been broken relationships and assume that our God is like that. He is nothing like that. He is nothing like that. But again, to know God's will, to understand God's ways, to understand what pleases him or displeases him, we must surely dig in, immerse in, and spend time with his word. Because the more that we do, the more that we will see and deeply know, just like David in Psalm 62, that we can trust God, even when we don't understand. Again, with our human minds, we so often try to reconcile understanding with trust. You are not going to understand everything. Then the fourth and final, no, actually I have one more point. The fourth point is Psalm 62, 8 and 10 says, Look at this. Listen, elpizo, put your biblical hope, your biblical trust, elpizo, that beautiful Greek word, so rich. Trust in him at all times, oh people. David is saying in the midst of treason, trust in him at all times, oh people. Now he's speaking to the congregation. He's speaking to the church body. He's saying God can be trusted. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge. God is a protection for us. Do you know what that means? Pour out your heart before him. Do you know what that means, ladies? That means prayer. He is a God that hears the cries and the prayers of his people. What a blessing that we don't have to go to anybody. We can go directly to the throne. Do we do that? It's a challenging question for you. Do we do that? Like David here, and you see David shares his joys and his mountaintop moments, and he shares the treasons and the laments and the painful moments and the things he doesn't understand, all woven throughout these Psalms. And he's saying right there, you can trust in God. Trust him at all times. So he turns from addressing himself to addressing the people. He's urging them to trust in God and to seek refuge, shelter. Shelter. Meaning God provides safety. In a world that is so full of uncertainties. In a world that's so full of uncertainties. God provides safety. We take shelter in our relationship with him and not in things of the world. We don't place our trust and hope in things of the world. We are believers in Jesus Christ. We know that God gives us things and we are to be good stewards of the things, right, entrusted to us. But we don't put our hope and our faith and our trust in those things. We place our trust in God alone, because write it down again. If you didn't write it down 2 seconds ago or maybe 2 minutes ago, God is reliable. And I'm not just speaking this from the pages of scripture. I know, and I probably speak on behalf of many of the women listening on Zoom or on Facebook too, that God has been extremely reliable in our own lives, dependable, a protector, a refuge. I know in my life he has, immensely. Let's turn to Proverbs 18:10. Proverbs 18, chapter 18, verse 10. It says, I love this verse. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs to it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs to it, beelines to it, eye on the prize, bullseye, runs to it and is what? Is safe, because God is a refuge. He's our refuge. This describes his security. You've got to understand. It's all over scripture. You've got to understand God through his word, through his attributes, through his qualities, not through people, not through earthly relationships. We cannot parallel earthly relationships with a heavenly father. We cannot parallel earthly relationships with a heavenly holy father. So often we do that. So many walk away because they do that. When you cannot trust man, you can trust God. When you cannot understand, you certainly can still trust God. He is a provider of safety and security for us. And then they're expressing their trust through prayer. Through prayer. And then Psalm 62, verse 10. We're almost done. Psalm 62, verse 10. I'm still in Proverbs. Okay. It says, put no trust in extortion, set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Simply put, gals, humans can never outweigh God. We can never do anything to outweigh God. Any human toiling, any human effort, any human striving that does not arise from true faith within us, true biblical hope and trust in the living God, it's going to fail. It is going to fail. Why does it say in that last passage right there, it says, verse 10, if riches increase, set not your heart on them. You know what? Really, really, this is gonna get some of y'all. Do you know what really fights for God's placement in our lives? What's your guess? Write it out, chat it out. Riches, money, wealth. I'm not saying riches, money, and wealth properly stewarded is bad. I'm saying when you place your trust in that and you don't place your trust in God, when you think that that is going to provide refuge and security, you are wrong. Instead of placing that trust and that faith and that hope in God, it is those things that buy for our hearts. It's those things that buy for our time. It's those things that buy for our, its place in our heart, and it crowds out God. We can't serve two masters. I say it all the time. I'm going to say it again. I didn't plan to say it. It's not even in my notes. But today, right here, right now, you have got to choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve the things of the world? Are you going to serve all the things that the world says provide security? Or are you going to serve God and trust in God alone? He is our only reliable hope. And then the last point, point five, Psalm 62, verses 11 and 12. Again, back to the surety, the steadiness of, the dependability of God's word. Write this down. God's word is certain. God's word is certain. Verse 11 says, once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast, that word, that rich word. Look it up. I'm going to do a study on it one day. It is rich. It is deep. Hesed, H-E-S-E-D. His steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. It's to say in these verses that to God belong both power to carry out his will and steadfast love. God has the power to carry out his will that belongs to him, and so does steadfast love, in which he has pledged himself to the faithful, for they may safely trust. We can safely trust. We can safely rely upon. We can safely place our trust in him. God is trustworthy. Say it again. I'm going to have you saying this in your dreams tonight. God is trustworthy. His fully sufficient word, is trustworthy. When you say sufficient, you'll hear inerrant. You'll hear God's inerrant word, God's infallible word, right? These things are true. But when you say God's word, people will challenge the sufficiency of scripture. They'll challenge it in your walk. What is it? It means that the Bible is all we need to equip us for a life of faith and service. God's word plus nothing. We don't need any other book. We don't need any other author telling us something. We don't need any other. I'm not saying, please, because everyone's going to say, oh, that means I throw out all my books. No, this is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is people try to say that you have to add to God's word. You need God's word plus something else. No, the sufficiency of scripture is the Bible is all we need to equip us, to equip you and me, ladies listening on the podcast and on YouTube, is all we need to equip us for a life of faith and a life of service. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 through 17. And it says, all scripture, not some, not pieces of, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything we need is found in the pages of scripture. Are we giving it that priority in our lives? You don't have to answer that live, but answer it to yourself and be transparent and honest with yourself. Are we giving God's word its rightful placement in our lives? Are we taking the time to get to know and deepen our trust and our faith in Christ and in God through his word and through prayer? And then in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it says, if scripture is God-breathed, then it's not man-breathed. I love that. If scripture is God-breathed, then it's not man-breathed. And although it was penned by men, those men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God gave us everything that we need in his word in the pages of scripture. And you know what's amazing about it? Here's what's so incredible. For generations, you've had people that try to challenge God's word. You've had people that have tried to discount God's word. You've had people that have tried to find things that contradict in God's word. For years, generations, never could anyone do that. Genesis to Revelation, Old Testament to New, all scripture is God breathed from God to us to be able to do all that we need to do. It is fully and completely and wholly sufficient. So here's the challenge, girls. Here's the challenge. Going back to that relationship, we're going to turn to page 57 in the book. We're going to end under explore the meaning. We are almost done. But here's the challenge for you. I'm likening it again to that relationship in case you're just jumping in the middle and maybe you've been popping on and off and you missed. Okay? We are to deepen our faith and our hope and our trust in God through deepening our study of God's word and prayer and doing what scripture's called us to do, surrounding ourselves with a body of believers, right? Everybody plays a role. Everyone plays a part. The nose, the eye, the pinky, right? You remember that from when you were younger? We are to develop that trust and that strength and that hope and that surety in who God is through prioritizing his word in our lives. Remembering the relationship between you and your spouse, how it grew and it grew and it grew, and you just wanted to know more and more and more about them, what they liked and what they didn't like, so that you didn't do that. Same with God's word, but thousands of times more important in our lives. I want you to turn to page 57 if you're in the book. If you don't have a book, again, don't worry, because I am writing and reading these points to you. I'm reading them. Heather's writing them on Zoom and on Facebook. If you're listening in on the podcast or YouTube, find Ladies Who Love Christ YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button because you can really engage there. Page 57, explore the meaning. So here's the deal. John MacArthur ends with these really simple points. The first thing is we should be honest about our difficulties. You see honesty woven all over the Psalms, not just about the good things, but about the bad, hard, tough things, right? The laments are these deep, deep cries, the laments throughout the Psalms. As you read David's Psalms, it quickly becomes clear that he poured himself and his experiences into his songs and reflections, refusing to sugarcoat his sorrows and his joys. In short, he was honest about his emotions and his experiences, especially when he wrote as a way of communicating with God. We can be honest with God because it's nothing he does not already know. The depths of our heart, the things that we don't know that we need, The things that we don't know or don't realize are still there, have still taken root, have not been uprooted. God knows. God sees all. We can be honest with him and we get to go straight to the throne through prayer, through time spent in his word. And then the second point, we should trust in God, our rock. As you read through these Psalms included in this lesson, you're likely going to notice that David relied heavily on a specific type of imagery during his description of God. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. God is our rock. He is our fortress. A fortress, I went with my husband and we visited Greece. And they literally had these old ancient like fortresses, walls. That's the imagery there. He's our fortress. He's our protector. He is reliable. He's our refuge. He's our security and our safety. That is who God is to us. When we go out into this world, listen to me, girls, I'm almost done. It's only 8:01. When we go out into this world that is waging war against God and his word, it is so vitally important now more than ever, I would venture to say, that we don't make light of these things, that we go out there sure of the fact that we can trust in God. Armored up and ready, like it says in Ephesians 6, ready to go. Ready to speak of that hope, that elpizo, that trust that we have when we are called on to share the hope that we have. Be ready. Scripture says, be ready. He is our rock. Can you tell I'm emphatic about this? Because I know this to be true. We should trust God based on his previous and present faithfulness. We can trust God for our future because we can always look back and see the faithfulness of God. And you know, that works two ways, because it's not just in the things that we cry out to God saying we want. It's the things that he says no to that years down the road, we look back and we say, my goodness, thank goodness I was praying for a yes and the Lord gave me a no. Because he knows all things. He sees all things. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's sufficient. He is a trustworthy God. He's sovereign, is what I meant to say. And his word is sufficient. That even when we don't understand, okay, there's my old pastor used to say, I think it was him that said it. I don't know. Don't quote me. This is not mine. But even when we cannot trace God's hand, even when we can't trace his hand, that's saying even when we don't understand, even when we cannot trace his hand, we can trust his heart. And not just in our past, but woven all over the pages of scripture. And don't ever, 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 if you're new in your walk, don't you ever let anyone tell you you can detach the Old Testament from the New, because the Old Testament, over 350 prophecies all over scripture, the Old Testament points to the New Testament. Messiah meaning anointed one, King of kings and Lord of lords. So the challenge is, as I close tonight, as I close this Bible study out, the challenge and the question for you girls is, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust the world and the things of this world? Are you going to put your security in your finances, your bank accounts, and your blah, 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 fill in the blank, whatever it is? Or are you going to place your trust, your full appeaso in God himself, our refuge, our ever-present help in time of trouble? Gal, spoken from my life, bringing it here now today, not from God's word, from my life, just from my little life. It brings me to tears when I think about the goodness and the grace of God. When I think about his trustworthiness in my life, When I look back at things that were brutally hard to endure and to get through, and I look back and I see nothing, nothing but God's favor and protection and refuge and all over my life. And you know what? I learned early on that I can trust him. So can you. If you don't have the book, go back and read Psalm 62. Listen to this again. Gals, if you're listening on the podcast or you're watching on YouTube, we want you to know that we're so grateful to have you. Do us a favor, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell so you don't miss notifications. If you're listening on the podcast, share the podcast wherever you like to listen, because we want to reach women with God's word, his completely sufficient, inerrant, infallible word. Lord, I thank you for what you did tonight here at this ministry, at this Bible study. I thank you, Lord, that you care so deeply for us. That when we go through things in life that challenge us, things that we don't understand, things that we cannot make sense of, Lord, that you see everything. You see everything. You know everything. You know how each and every intricate detail, little minute detail works out to the grander picture. Lord, you can see the things we'll never be able to see. You are God, we are not. You are God, we are not. You are holy and you are so worthy of our trust, Lord. You are trustworthy. You are reliable. I've seen that throughout my life, time and time and time and time again. You are reliable. You are able. You are our refuge. Whoever needs to know that truth deeper tonight, Lord, just touch your heart to spend time with you, to spend time with you through your word, to spend time with you through prayer, to draw near to you and not to things of the world, to armor up, Lord, to get ready to go out into this world, to shine her light, to shine my light, for all of us to shine our lights. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Lord, let us glorify you in this world that is dry and parched and in dire and desperate need of you. Let us do that. Let us go out there sure of you, surety, sure of our God. I praise you, Lord. You're so holy and you're so worthy of our praise. In Jesus' beautiful and precious and holy, holy name I pray. Amen. All right, girls, we are done. Let me just stop the recording. Bye to the gals on podcast and YouTube.